My wife, Rhonda, and I recently moved back here to Newcastle. We both grew up in Newcastle and came here after I retired on the 31st of May from Baylor University. And as in the case throughout the entire ministry, I was a pastor before and then went into higher education, but I had offered opportunities many times to speak at different churches. And so not only that, I would also visit different churches. So one time when I was studying overseas, I was visiting at a church, and after the service, I was single at the time, a couple asked me, would you like to come over to our house for dinner? Well, I like to eat, and I think that you do too. And so I said, sure, I'd like to come over to your house for dinner. So I went to their house, and they had two little boys, about, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old, big, active little boys. And they said, would you mind if you took care of the boys while we finish the final touches on the meal? I said, no problem at all. So little boys and I were in the living room, and they were laughing and giggling. It was a Welsh family, and they were having a great time with me. One was on my lap, and one was on the floor, and the other one climbed on my shoulders. Finally, one of the little boys straddled himself across my lap, and he looked at me in the eye, and he said in his little Welsh voice, "Where are you from?" And I said, "Well, I'm from Pennsylvania." And he paused, and he said, "Oh, you look like a pencil." Well, yeah. I hope you get the point of what I have to say today. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a passage that means a lot to you? Is there a verse of Scripture that has, in some ways, summed up your life? That's me. Is there a passage that has carried you through tough times and good times? I would suspect that if I went around this room and asked different people what their favorite text might be, I would get a number of different answers. Someone might say, oh, my text is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him might not perish but have everlasting life. Somebody else might elbow in and say, no. Mine is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Someone else might say, no. Mine is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And the text goes on and on. These texts have meaning to us. When times are going a little bit difficult, there's a passage that helps to give you almost like a soothing soul lozenge. And then when times are sailing along, that passage buoys you up. That's the power of the Bible. That's the power of God's Word. God's Word is His Word to us. The Bible is about God. I don't want to surprise you this morning, but sometimes we think that the Bible is about us, our needs, our issues, our concerns, our sin. But really, the Bible is about God. And when you savor on one of these passages of Scripture, it's almost as if it directs you back to God, because that text is talking about God. That's the power of God's Word. I have a text. It's a text that has meant an awful lot to me for all my life. I was a young high school kid, and I was leafing through the Bible, reading through it, and I came across this text that really has meant an awful lot to me in so many, many ways. It's a text that has power to it, and it has mystery to it as well. It's a text that has stuck with me ever since I was a scruffy high schooler. And it has meant an awful lot to me even to this very day. The text is Proverbs chapter 20, 24. And if you turn to that text, you can see it. Now, I'm reading from a different version this morning. Pastor Mike gave me permission to do that. Because I'm reading from a translation that seems more close to the thrust of this text. So I'm really going to be reading from the New International Version, Proverbs chapter 20, 24. And as I read this text, I want you to ask yourself a question. What does this text tell us about God and the way he works in our lives? Keep that in mind as you hear the text. What does this text tell us about God and the way he works in our lives? Reading from Proverbs chapter 20 with the verse number 24, the writer of Proverbs says, a man's steps or a woman's steps or a boy's steps or a girl's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand his own way? Now, I know I just read it. It's short. It's almost as if a bus went by and you said, whoa, wait a minute. Let me read it again. A man's steps, a woman's steps, a boy's steps, a girl's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand his own way? What is this text saying? What is this text telling us about God and the way he works in our lives? Well, certainly it underscores that God directs our lives. God directs our lives. The Lord is the one who is in control. That is, he is Lord. Lord, Yahweh is the word here in the original. He is Lord. He is the source of the direction of our lives. He is the one who is God. And it is this God, this God who is the one who works in our lives, so much so, the text says begins with Lord, Yahweh, man's steps. From the Lord, Yahweh gives, from the Lord, he gives man's steps. He gives the direction of a person's life. God superintends, he guides, he controls, he really, we could say that God is the one who has the final say in our lives. Why? Because he's God. God directs our lives. Now, what we're talking about here is a theological term. He invited a seminary professor to come and speak, and I'm going to give you a theological word. And the theological word under which this passage operates is sovereignty. It's talking about God's sovereignty, that God is over all. It is this God in this text and throughout Proverbs, you see that this God is the one whose rule is comprehensive. He is over all. And it's something that we're not always wanting to admit to, are we? But he's God. A similar theological term, a sister one, if I could say it, bumps into this theological term, is providence. God is the one who provides. He provides the steps for a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl. And it is this God who is in control, the one who provides. Some of you might be familiar with the New England colonies, and they were pretty strong in what they held to. And there was a fellow in the colony who, well, he was among the Congregationalists pushing Baptist ideas, and he got booted out of Massachusetts Bay Colony, and he had to found a new colony called Rhode Island. His name was Roger Williams. But he saw that God was the one who had provided for them this place to go. And so he named the first city Providence, in order to underscore what God had been doing. We see this even locally. There's a church in the Elwood City area called Providence Baptist Church. It was a mother church of many of the churches, Baptist churches in the Beaver Valley. Those early pioneers came over the Appalachian Mountains, and they founded this church, and they wanted everybody to know that it was God who was the one who led them there, and they named the church Providence Baptist Church. Even God's providence was at work in the founding of this church. Mary Craven took an ox cart across Pennsylvania from New Jersey and came to Newcastle. Her son Richard had come here to live, and she came here to make sure that he gave his life to Jesus Christ. So much so, there wasn't a Baptist church here, and so she collected some people together and said, we're going to found a Baptist church. And in November of that same year, this church was founded. There's a pastor whose name was Charles Henry Heaton, who wrote a history of the church. And I want you to hear what he says about Mary Craven and God's providence. Under Christ, credit is due to Mary Craven more than any other person for the existence of the First Baptist Church in Newcastle. God directed Mary Craven here for us to experience what we're experiencing today. God directs our lives. He directs our lives. He guides our steps. He guides the course of our lives because He is God. We can look back on our lives and see His hand guiding us, can't we? Even through the difficult times, we can see that because God directs our lives. He's directed my life. I grew up in an alcoholic home. I came to faith in Christ when I was 14, almost 15 years old, through the ministry of a church on the other side of Newcastle. I was working at a fruit and vegetable stand out on 422 East, and I was hearing the young people sing and talk about Jesus. This is during the Jesus movement. Their lives were different. They invited me to attend a Christian music concert. And at that Christian music concert, I heard the gospel through the music. And at the end of the concert, the pastor stood up and explained what it meant to become a Christian. I went up and talked to somebody and prayed to receive Christ that day. That church took me in, nurtured me, discipled me, cared for me, sent me off to a seminary and to be a pastor. And then after being a pastor, I went to teach at Gordon-Conwell and then on to Baylor. There are a lot of details that I'm leaving out, but one thing I know is this. God directs our lives. He's there, always is. He's God. He's sovereign. He directs your life as well. He knows you, knows your steps intimately, knows your needs, your desires. He loves you and tenderly cares for you in every aspect of your life, even though you may not realize it. But we think that we're in control, don't we? We may think that we can call the shots, you know. We want to keep our hands on the controls. We forget that there's a God and that there is a God who is God. We're reminded, aren't we, of the spiritual that we sometimes forget. That He what? Has the whole world in His hands. We're not puppets, though. Certainly not. But we are those who are called to respond to God because God is the one who superintends our lives. We're not in control, but God is. So this text is clear. It is clear about who God is. God directs our lives. The question for us is, if that's the case, what are we to do about it? What are we to do as we think about this reality of God being God and God being sovereign? Well, the text says here that we don't have necessarily have the capacity to understand our own lives, but we can trust God as we live through them. Notice the second half of the text. The second half of the text is a question. How then can anyone understand his or her own way? How can anyone understand his or her own way? Well, the answer is that a man or a woman can't understand one's life. Only God does. Not a step is taken without God's superintendence. Oh, yeah. We have a lot of questions. I have a lot of unanswered questions. We don't know why we're ill, or why our kids are far from us, or why we've lost our job, or why you can't figure out what you're going to do once you graduate from college. Why? But since that's the case, what we're to do is to depend on him every step of life. When I was in seminary, I remember a African-American gospel choir coming to the school, and they stood up to sing, and as they stood up to sing, they were swaying back and forth to this song. And this song underscores what we're talking about. The song says, "We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. Oh, can't turn around. We've come this far by faith." Or if you want a country, is "One day at a time, sweet Jesus." That's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do, is to live our lives and to recognize that God brings order out of our ignorance. We depend on him. I admit, some things are not all that clear as we're going through them. They're not. They're not easy for us to understand. And when we look back, we can say, oh yeah, everything makes sense. But sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. But the truth of this text is that we depend on him. He's the only one we can depend on. There was a beautiful little girl born to a young freshman in college, not ready to be a mother. She tried to hide her pregnancy from her parents, so she went to live with the roommate's parents. She did that and was going to give the baby girl up for adoption. The roommate's parents were looking for a daughter, praying that God would provide a daughter for them because they were not able to have children. And so they adopted this beautiful little girl and brought her into her home. And they raised her in the faith. She became a Christian, went off to college, went to business school, and then married a preacher. That beautiful little girl is my lovely wife, Rhonda. God is the one in whom we trust. We depend on him. But the problem is that sometimes we resist trusting God. We try to manage and manipulate our own lives in such a way that we're in control. Sam was like so many of my students at school. He was ambitious and desired to go on for further study. So what he wanted to do is to put everything in order so that he could get into the school that he wanted to get into. And so he wanted to come to my office to talk with me about his grade. And so I asked him, what would you like for me to do? He said, I would like for you to change my grade. Okay. Now, I have to tell you, his grade was an A-, and he wanted it changed to an A. I don't know, it was in the A zone. I don't know. It seemed like a pretty good grade to me. And I said, well, tell me, why would you like for me to change your grade? He said, well, I'm applying to go to Cambridge University. Well, that was a mistake. I went to Oxford. And and I want to make sure that I have put everything into order so that I can get into the school. I don't know. I struggled with this because I thought it seemed as if he did not need to depend upon God because he was trying to do everything himself and he didn't really need God. Now, I knew that he was a student who said he affirmed the sovereignty of God. So I asked him, I said, well, Sam, tell me, why not just do the best you can and then give it to God? Let God be God. He looked at me with his creased forehead. I don't know. When I was a kid growing up, there was a television show called Timmy and Lassie. Some of you might have watched reruns. I don't know. But Timmy had a little, had a collie, and he would talk to Lassie. And he'd speak to Lassie, and Lassie would do something like this. And, you know, we really weren't quite sure if Lassie got it. I don't think Sam got it. And I don't think we get it either. Sometimes we don't get it to the point that we don't rely on God. We are called to depend on this God, to trust this God, to look to this God no matter what, and I know it's not easy. You're to trust him and to look to him and be confident in him and what he wants to do in our lives. We're to rely on him because this is really what this book is about. This book of Proverbs is teaching people to become wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Recognizing that God is the beginning of wisdom. Recognizing that God is the beginning of depending on him. So what is this text getting at? What is this text underscoring for us? What is it telling us? It's this. God directs our lives, and we depend on him. God directs our lives, and we depend on him. That's a truth that permeates Scripture. You see it throughout Proverbs, for example. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 16, 1. Proverbs 19, 21, Proverbs 16, 9. You see it in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Trust in the Lord forever. Or John 14, 1. Trust God and trust in me also. 1 Peter 2, 6. And the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. It is replete throughout the entire Scriptures. It's the center of what it means to be a Christian, to be one who is absolutely dependent upon God. The truth is seen in hymns and songs and choruses in the church and throughout the years. This truth makes a difference in our lives. God directs our lives, and we depend on him. It's what we're called to do and called to be. This means that we trust him and trust in him no matter what. Alice was a member of my first church. She was in the hospital, had heart issues, breathing issues. She was really struggling with her physical condition. In addition to that, she was thinking about her own life and what had taken place. Her marriage wasn't great. Her kids were rebellious, and none of them followed Christ. There was struggle with finances. She was in a tough place. And then her health. I went in to see her and we chatted. We talked about her marriage, her faith in Christ. Because she had come to faith in Christ years before. Talked about her kids. Talked about her finances. And I said to her, Alice, all you can do is hope in Christ. You know what she said to me? That's all I have. And that's all any of us have. Trusting, depending on this great God who loves us and guides us and directs our lives in a powerful, wonderful, glorious way. God directs us by his sovereign hand. Now, I know we may find it difficult at times to trust him, but we know from Scripture and from experience that God is sovereign and his providential care is all we need. Yeah. God directs our lives, and we depend on him. My father-in-law is a man of faith. He almost 50 years ago, decided to go in with his brother-in-law, and they would buy a restaurant. It was a restaurant that cooked hamburgers and hot dogs over a hot charcoal fire. And they served their signature dessert, which was homemade pie. Let's just stay there for a moment and think about homemade pie. They worked hard at this restaurant. They had the restaurant for 28 years. Some of the years were profitable, while other years were quite a challenge. He paid his employees first before he paid himself, and sometimes he didn't get anything. But they, after a while, after 20-some years, going 28 years, they decided it was time to sell the restaurant. But the reality is, it's hard to sell a restaurant. They struggled with it. They prayed that somebody would buy it. He took on not only the work at the restaurant, but also work as a custodian in a local school here so that he could have health insurance. And they prayed and prayed, and nobody came forward. Finally, somebody said, well, we'll do a lease-to-buy option, and we'll take over the restaurant. So they did. Do you know how long the restaurant lasted? 6 months. They didn't know what they were going to do. Finally, a couple sisters stepped forward and said they would take on the restaurant, and they had it for 5 years. And then even after that time, they handed over the keys. They still had the building. Didn't know what to do. And then someone said, well, I'll just buy the building from you. And so they did. Now, as you look at that patchwork of memories, you wonder what it really means. And I would suggest that as Mom and Dad Aiken look back on what took place, they would say what this text underscores. God directs our lives and we depend on him. God directs our lives and we depend on him. That's what God is calling us to do. That's all we can do. Trust him in the everyday stuff of life and to know that in the big picture, that God is God, and that we can trust him. And as we trust him, others will be able to see through our lives that we do so, that we trust him. It'll be an alluring witness to the gospel of Christ. I don't know what you're going through. I can only imagine, but I'm sure that you can relate with my story or Rhonda's or Mom and Dad Aiken or Alice or Sam. We need a God in whom we can trust. We need him desperately as we live life. God directs our lives and we depend on him. What I'd like for you to do is to take opportunity today to give yourself to this wise God, to depend on him. It's the same God in the Old Testament and New Testament who calls us to depend on him. And because of the coming of Jesus Christ into the world to die for our sins, you can give yourself to Christ, to trust him for the forgiveness of your sins, and then follow him in the same kind of obedience that is called for and demonstrated in this text. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you're struggling with depending on him, and I understand, let him know. Pray to him. Talk to him. Confess your doubts, your fears Turn away from those things that have gotten in the way of you having this solid relationship with him in obedience and give yourself to him afresh today. He is the God in whom we can trust, and that's the truth of this text. God directs our lives, and we depend on him. Will you pray with me, please? Our gracious God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we're grateful that we can be stimulated and encouraged by this text, by the truth of it. Would you work your way into our souls and help us to trust Christ, trust him no matter what, trust you as our great God, on whom we can depend and live our lives. To your glory, we ask in Jesus' name, amen.